This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under the radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Zach Orchow.
Michigan State University has not been without its share of drama and turmoil over the last half a decade, and the latest involves school board members. Governor Gretchen Whitmer has been asked to review whether two trustees should be removed from the board. Zach, fill us in on what's going on here.
Well, this is just the latest chapter in years and years of acrimony at the Michigan State University Board of Trustees. And even though the board has turned over quite a bit in recent years, that same drama has carried forward. And last fall, one member of the board, Brianna Scott, a Democrat from Muskegon, asked the board to ask a law firm to investigate various allegations of misconduct, and by misconduct, violating board policies, exceeding board authority by other members of the Board of Trustees. Two people specifically that are in the crossfire now are Rima Vassar and Dennis Denno, both Democrats, Rima Vassar from Detroit, Dennis Denno from East Lansing. And it's a very long report, I believe 66 pages. Most of it documents alleged conduct by Rima Vassar, undertaking activities that would seem to be more fitting for a member of the MSU administration who is in charge of day-to-day operations at the university, not a member of the Board of Trustees, which has an oversight role, not supposed to be getting involved in day-to-day operations. The president of the university answers to the Board of Trustees. The board approves a budget. The board's not supposed to be out there, running classes or implementing university programs or leading emergency response and that sort of thing. And then Dennis Denno, some of the same kinds of things. And as you read this report, it basically points the finger at the two of them for conspiring to undermine the now former interim president of Michigan State, Teresa Woodruff.
And all of this culminated in the board voting late Sunday night to ask the governor to review Denno and Vassar for possible removal.
I also understand that the board believes that I, along with Trustee Denno and Trustee Scott, should be censured based on the findings of the Miller-Chevalier report. I'm gratified that Miller Chevalier's investigation concluded that the most serious allegations against me were groundless and that there was no finding of personal benefit, undue influence, or harm to the university. Again, while I am fully human and I make mistakes, I lead with integrity, transparency, and with transformative change at the center of my decisions. The Miller Chevalier report does not change that immutable fact. You invited me to the dance. And you told me you hate my outfit, my music, and my style. You told me to shut up, smile, and feel lucky you got invited at all. Never dare to suggest we don't really want change. That's a quote from a colleague at Eastern Michigan University, Teresa Green.
So under the state constitution, Whitmer has authority to remove officers for gross neglect of duty or for corrupt conduct in office or for any other misfeasance or malfeasance therein, end quote. But this is a very tricky area for Whitmer to weigh in on. I mean, it's highly political. Both of the trustees at issue are Democrats. But let's say she does remove them. How do you think that would hurt Whitmer or Democrats in general?
Well, it would be a really ugly situation. Both Rima Vassar, who's the first Black woman to be president of the MSU Board of Trustees until her resignation on Sunday, and Dennis Denno, who's Arab American, have said targeting them is almost tantamount to targeting the communities that they come from. And so right there, you can see that is going to be very tumultuous for Michigan Democrats because African Americans, Arab Americans are huge pillars of their coalition. So it would be very, very difficult, very ugly. There's a reason why governors almost never undertake this process. Former Governor Granholm at the request of the Detroit City Council, did hold removal hearings on former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. Governor Engler, of his own initiative, began a process involving a member of the Wayne State Board, but eventually it was called off. I mean, you can count on one hand the number of times governors invoke this process, but they are asked to invoke it many more times. Governor Whitmer has turned down various requests to review elected officials in local government areas and has declined to act. So it's the idea of removing somebody who has been duly elected is very difficult, and it would be problematic. That being said, in terms of the public overall, I think there's a general understanding that, you know, Michigan State University has had a lot of issues at its Board of Trustees. Again, different members of the board, some who are no longer members of the board. And so I don't, and the public at large, I don't think it would be shocking that the governor might oust a member or members of the board. But it is kind of amazing that the allegations about MSU board members exceeding their authority have been around for years, and there's never been a move to try to oust them in the past, but now it's happening.
Yeah. And we should also mention that there is talk and the proposal out there to change the state constitution to end the election of the MSU, U of M, and Wayne State boards and shift them to gubernatorial appointment, but there's not really been any traction on that yet. Well, we're going to dig deeper into this with our guest, Elena Dernbaugh, along with a check-in on what's going on at the state capitol. It's all coming up right after this break. Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Zach Gorchow.
And we are joined now by Gongwer's own Elena Dernbaugh. Elena, welcome to Mishmash.
Thank you very much.
So we've talked about some of the background going on at MSU, but Elena, you covered the rather unusual 10 p.m. meeting on Sunday where the board voted to censure two of its own members. What was that like? I mean, you have essentially coworkers going face to face with each other.
Right. A very surprising time for a public meeting. I would say everyone got on at 10 p.m., but it was not 10 p.m. The coworkers gathered at closer to 10:30 when everything was up and ready to go. And I would say over Zoom, it's harder to tell, but it seemed very tense.
What did you see, Elena, that made you feel like, wow, you can really sense the tension here? What was standing out to you?
For sure. Everyone was kind of, it seemed like everyone had a very clear idea of what they were there to do, but there wasn't a lot of, you know, camaraderie, very clipped kind of sentences, and moved straight into business and brought forward the resolutions of the board to censure. And then former board chair Vassar gave quite a lengthy speech about her decision to resign as chair, and very clearly stated that she didn't feel the report accurately represented the fullness of what went on, and was like, you know, I might have made some wrong decisions, but I feel like I did the best I could, and felt strongly that she had kind of been wronged by the report.
Yeah, and like the polar opposite seemed to be trustee Dennis Denno, who's the other one, getting censured and referred to the governor. And he had issued a lengthy statement on Facebook earlier in the day. And they, at the board meeting, they gave him the chance to make comments. And then he said, you know, I really have nothing more to add. My statement is my statement. And that was that. And you could kind of hear a pin drop at that point, I thought.
Very quiet.
What was the relationship like among board members prior to this meeting? Do you know, like, has there been contention with these members in the past, or was this something that kind of came up because of these two members sort of out of nowhere?
Well, I would say that there's been a history of tension on the board. I mean, that was acknowledged by Vassar in her statement, calling you know, the board dysfunctional. And this dates back to, you know, an October public statement saying that there are problems on this board and how we're operating. And, you know, that's kind of been exacerbated by the problems that MSU has faced over the past several years, with, you know, the shooting last year and the Nassar documents. You've got six presidents in 6 years. I think that that environment has just kind of fed into the relationship of the board. There's a lot going on at MSU, and the board members have been kind of part of that, not necessarily on great terms with one another. The report said that there were emails that kind of showed that they were not cordial and communicating in a collegial way.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that the board, but so much of the board has turned over since the Nassar scandal. And a lot of these members are relatively new, but yet a lot of the same drama and toxicity seems to be persisting.
So for listeners who maybe don't remember, because it has been quite a few years now, Larry Nassar is the former Michigan State University sports doctor. He also worked at a number of other places, who was convicted of sexually assaulting his patients under the guise of medical treatment for years and years. And obviously this caused a very big uproar on the Michigan State University campus.
So the governor has been asked to review the case. Elena, can you walk us through the process? What happens now?
For sure. You know, after the board requested that Whitmer review the case, her office expressed that they would, and they would take it seriously. And, you know, depending on the decision that is reached, they would then go through the process of appointing new trustees.
And so it's a really unusual process where the governor essentially acts as judge and jury, in effect. Is this common for the governor to initiate hearings to remove state officers? She has this authority under the Constitution and Michigan law, but how common is it?
Not common at all. I mean, this has not happened at any time that I can remember. And of course, it's also an interesting situation because the board members are, of course, elected, being a public university. And so to have the governor act, as you said, as kind of judge and jury to then remove and appoint new trustees is an odd situation.
How have Deno and Vassar, the two people that are up for censure, how have they been reacting to all of this?
It seems to have been fairly quiet since Sunday. We had Deno's statement on Facebook and then Vassar's statement during the meeting. But since then, I have not seen or heard much from them. Of course, people have been outside of the board have been buzzing about it, you know, the latest drama from MSU, but I haven't seen anything from the board members themselves.
It's two really different people, even though they are allied in this kind of sense. You know, Rima Vassar comes out of the university community at Wayne State University. It's really new to politics when she got nominated by the Democratic Party and then elected to the MSU board. Dennis Deno has been a Democratic political operative in Michigan for well over 20 years. He's a communications professional. And so they have really taken completely different tacks in how they've responded to this, even though it's clear they are supporting each other through this, at least publicly, and I presume privately as well. You know, like we said, Deno did not give a lengthy speech at the meeting. He let his written statement be his written statement, and he has threatened to sue depending on how this goes forward. Thus far, we haven't seen any type of litigation threat from Rima Vassar. So let's shift gears and talk about some things going on at the state capitol. Elena, you cover the Michigan House of Representatives for Gongwer. Keeps you very, very busy. There's some bills right now to bring back a program that existed in the mid to late 2000s called the Film Incentive Program. Some people probably look back and remember lots and lots of films and TV shows being filmed in Michigan at that time. Hasn't happened since the program was dismantled at the beginning of the Snyder era. What's going on with these bills to bring the program back?
Absolutely. So I was speaking with Representative John Roth, who's kind of the lead on this new package of bills. And right now they are in a phase of education on both sides of the aisle, letting people know how these bills are different from the original program. These operate with where before film companies could kind of come in and get their discounts and then leave. This requires, it's more of a payback, like, come here and then you can get your money after you've been in Michigan and done the production and made the jobs. So there's still discussions about that. There's not any immediate action on the horizon, but I understand that they are hoping to get it in committee again before their spring break.
What has historically been the push against these bills? Like, I know, Zach, you were around for when these bills were enacted and then when Snyder took them away. What is some of the issue with it? Because I feel like a lot of people were probably like, ooh, Hollywood coming to Michigan. That seems, I know something my dad's really into. Like, it seems like such a fun win-win for everybody. You know, Michigan gets some more prestige, or it gets a little bit of attention. There's benefits to people making movies, maybe not even big movies, but indie movies as well. Zach, well, I guess, what is the history with all these?
It goes to the idea of state government and tax dollars going to Hollywood. Essentially, it's as simple as that, that there's not enough bang for the buck, that the state is handing out taxpayer money to these film studios who set up shop to do a, you know, 4-6 2-week production or whatnot. And how does that really benefit Michigan other than that, you know, celebrities come in here and at some point, you know, people in Michigan might be excited because we are from Michigan. We get excited when we see our places on the big screen, that it generates some feel good vibe. And so there's a feeling among the critics of this that this is a poor use of tax dollars. The supporters of this at the time when it first started and now say this is a way to build a new industry in Michigan, that young people who might otherwise leave the state to work in the film and TV and video industry elsewhere could do it right here, and we can have studios and so forth. And that's what the whole debate has centered on for a long time.
Elena, does it look like these are going to get any movement? Is there a lot of appetite for figuring this out?
From what I hear, there is bipartisan support right now. And people generally seem to be excited about it. It's more of a fun bill to talk about. And there does seem to be an appetite to avoid the pitfalls of the previous program, which is, you know, something that they're working on and working out and having discussions about right now. But there is support on both sides of the aisle, although both sides of the aisle still have questions. Republicans are asking, you know, what's the goal? What's the point of this? And Democrats seem to be concerned about, you know, the intent of this package is to set up more of an industry. And so Democrats have concerns about making sure that industry is one with, you know, well-paying unionized jobs, which their Republican colleagues are kind of like, well, maybe that isn't something that people who are coming in with this industry want. So there's some back and forth there about that.
Elena, one of the other big topics at the Capitol right now is a bipartisan school safety package that was the product of an effort after the Oxford High School shooting in 2021. These are bills that would require schools to upgrade emergency plans, have school employees complete safety and security training, set lockdown procedures, install emergency radio systems, lots more. What's happening with those bills currently?
Yeah, those bills are kind of in the center of a partisan fight for control in the House right now. As you mentioned, this is a bill that has, or a bill package that has really been worked on in a bipartisan fashion with Rep. Kelly Breen leading on the Democratic side and Rep. Luke Meerman leading the Republican effort here. And about a month ago, Minority Leader Matt Hall made a push to discharge these bills from committee and take them to a vote on the floor, which Breen felt strongly they weren't ready for. Of course, that motion didn't succeed. And so since then, there's been a real clamor from the Republican side of the House to get these bills moving. But Breen and then Matt Colazar, who is the chair of the Education Committee, have said that, you know, they're coming, but they're not ready yet. And Meerman has been backing Breen in that, saying that, you know, they've worked on these all the way through and he would like to continue with that, although he would like to see committee hearings. And so would Breen and Colazar. They're looking forward to the committee process. But my understanding is that they are still trying to get some feedback from stakeholders and school districts, because there is an emphasis on getting these bills right, because they are about school safety. One of the delays was waiting on the Oxford report, which came out last fall. And a lot of the bills in the package have evolved since that report came out, because a lot of the findings from the Oxford report showed that some of the things that were in this legislation, Oxford had, and it didn't work. So there has been some evolution there that has been unfolding, and they're going to come to committee soon.
One of the things that struck me in the story you wrote about that recently was a lot of really heartfelt comments from legislators in both parties that are working on this issue or frustrated by this issue. You know, it didn't strike me as the typical kind of really, you know, talking point, politics-y kind of comments. It seemed like people were venting more personal frustration about where this is at. What did you make of that? What do you think that says?
Absolutely. We had Rep. Jamie Green, who sits on the Education Committee, attempt to get a hearing going on these bills, and attempting to work around Colazar to call a hearing. And I asked her about that and, you know, what she was hoping to do. And she expressed her frustration with waiting to get these bills in front of the committee, in front of the legislative body, because in her district, she represents some of the people who are connected to Oxford, some teachers, and, you know, feels strongly the frustration that there hasn't been any action yet, and she wants to help on this front. So it seems from all sides, Green, Meerman, Colazar, Breen, everybody wants to do the right thing and wants to see action on this. But because of the position in the House right now, where it's 54-54, everyone feels very stuck. And, you know, these are bills that deal with important topics. And while everyone is eager to get them moving, they want to do them right. And they're kind of in partisan crossfire right now.
Elena Dernbaugh, reporter for Gong War, thank you so much for joining us here on Mishmash.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with Gong War News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gong War's Zach Gorchow and Alethea Kasban. Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr. Mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian. Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, basically wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. Tell your friends about how much you've learned from Mishmash and send them a link. Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, and we really, really hope you do, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give and become a member of WDET at wdet.org.